Morning again. Are you hungry?
Yes.
Who's hungry? Yes. For God, not pizza. Jeremiah 15. While you're finding it, I want to share something really awesome about God. There's a lot of awesome things about God, but I had an awesome encounter with God yesterday morning. Harvey and I were trying to get me online with our banking account, and he's getting the phone. He's doing whatever, getting him on the phone to talk to me. And I looked on my computer, and there was a headline that said, Israel is suffering terror today, or something, Palestinians attacks on Israel. I got so hit in the spirit for God's grief for Israel. I had to just drop everything and run in my room and get in the bed and let the Spirit begin to pray. And as the Holy Spirit began to pray about what was going on in Israel yesterday, the heart of God was just deeply grieving for particular people who were murdered yesterday over there, people that he loved very much. And he let me know that the news, that the event of the murders there yesterday were to God just as if someone had come and said, one of my children, John and his wife and his children, were all wiped out yesterday. And there, he said there were men, there were women, there were children. And that it just grieved the heart of God as if we got the news our family had just been wiped out. And I don't know what I prayed for a long time. I was praying in tongues and it was just weeping and grieving and agony in the heart of God for people that he loved that were murdered. And then he began to explain and tell me, you know, that it was men, women, children, and family, people, and that God loved them so much. And this awesome experience of this heart, this love, this grieving heart of our God that he shared with me. And at the end of it, I said, wow, I planned on praying about this eat-to-win game, but I don't care. I'm going to trash it. You know, what is it in eternity compared to what you're going through? I don't even want to talk about it. And God said, I want to talk about it. I want you to give me the game. You know, no matter, God is just so multifaceted. I mean, he can be weeping for that death and rejoicing at the wedding and saying, come on, let's plan this game, you know. He cares about every detail of your life, every minute. And he asked me to give him the game. We got a quote back from the manufacturer, and it about blew us all out of the water. It was so high, it was terrible, you know. And, I mean, we're thinking in numbers like, oh, wow, we'd have to produce 25,000 of the game before it's reasonable to make anything. And, wow, how are we going to do this? And God said, give it to me. And as I put it in his hand, it became a baby, wrapped in a blanket that said, eat to win. And the baby, God breathed life into this baby. And then he touched the feet, began to play with the feet. And the feet became strong, and the baby developed. And the feet began running and going places, you know. And God said, you think that's something? This baby can fly. And it began to fly. And it was flying all over the world. And he said, and it needs to get stronger. And it got big muscles. I mean, we got super guy going here, you know. And then he's standing on top of the world. And God said, it's going to go global. I have struggled with this. I have struggled. Every day I struggle. God, why are you telling me to do this game? I want to do spiritual things. This isn't spiritual. Why? Why are you making me do this? I mean, I like it, but I don't want to like it. I want to just go bury myself in ministry. And then God said, it's for Harvey. It's for him. Because he has not ever been released. And he went 9 years to Bible college and thought, when I finish Bible college, I get to finally full-time ministry. 1 year. And he was back into the worldly job again. And he's worked all these years with a great attitude. He has worked every day, every job God has put him through. He gets up every day. He loves his job. He loves the people. He has a great attitude. He never complains. We've seen other ministers go into full-time ministry and be paid for it. Never Harvey. He doesn't take one penny. He just keeps doing tub glaze. And God said, I'm going to release him. That time bomb is going to go off and he's going to preach to thousands and he's not going to have to worry about money. I'm going to take care of him. Well, now that I see there's a purpose of God behind that game, I'm asking you to pray and join in with God blessing that baby, because it's going to release ministry, this ministry. Probably some of you. Because Harvey's a very generous man, and all he could think of when he heard that was, I want to do this for Nate, and I want to do this for my kids, and I want to do this for... All he wanted to do was, if God was going to bless it, it was bless you. And that's his heart. And that's probably why God wants to bless him. So, I was so overwhelmed with who God is, how great he is, that no matter what great important issue, eternal issues on his heart, he still cares about our every detail of our life, every issue of our life. He is so amazing. He's so amazing. I want to share that because I want you to be hungry. I want you to be hungry. I was so in his presence, I could hardly stand up. I could hardly move. I could hardly function. I was just walking around with, God, you are so awesome. This feeling of being in his presence. You know, if you could do that 1 hour every morning, you would be flying through life. And yet 1 hour is 1/16th of your waking day. How little, just a taste. Imagine walking in his presence all day. Wow. Wow. That's what we're born to do. And we are so far from getting there. But let's get hungry to get there. Let's get hungry to get there. Jeremiah 15:16. Jeremiah said, thy words were found, and I did eat them. And thy word was unto me the joy and the rejoicing of my heart. For I am called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts. Jeremiah ate the word of God when he found it. To eat the word of God, if you're really hungry, this is your nourishment. This is what you have to eat. To eat something means to consume it, to take it in, to dine upon it. You can't just chew the word of God. To chew it is to hear it or to read it. Chew on that for a minute and try to understand it. But if you don't go further, you just spit it out. You don't get any nourishment when you chew your food and spit it out. If you keep doing that, you'll get skinny and die. You have to swallow it. You have to digest it. You have to take it deeper. God wants to give you all the meat in the Word. But if you're not hungry, he can't give it to you, because you're content just to take a nibble and spit it out. We have to be more than hungry. To take it in and to digest it, to internalize it, to begin to say, God, what is in this scripture? What is in this word for me? How can I get more out of it? Because the word is alive. It separates your soul and spirit. But it only does that if you're hungry for it to do that. If you're just doing your daily reading and going, yeah, the word was found, I did eat it, read my word today, wow, got that in, now I can go. Then you're spitting it out. You got to be more than hungry. You have to be hungry enough to say, give it to me, God. I'm going to pray this word. God, when I find your word, I don't want to just chew it. I want to own it. I want to live it. I want to get it. I want to understand it. I want it to open up and live inside of me. And I want to walk in it and practice it until it becomes mine, my life, part of who I am. I want to own your word. I'm starving to own it, not just hear it. But I want you to know where Jeremiah was. Let's see. I'm going to say something else about that verse first. The Lord God of hosts. You know, I have read this many times. I'm called by your name, O Lord God of hosts. And thought he's talking about the angels, right? Hosts, heavenly hosts, the angels. But if you look that word up, that word means a mass of persons organized for war. It means people who are ready for hardship for an appointed time for the battle and for worship. A people prepared, a people ready. God is forming an army, and that army is formed of those who get ready. Let God get you ready. So the host can mean angels, but it also means you. He's the Lord God of this army, end time army, soldiers. He is the Lord of that. Jeremiah was not in a place where he was living in the hotel, being waited on by room service, or had a house like this, and God just was blessing him And he's going, oh yeah, God, I got up this morning, flipped on the air conditioner, got a cup of coffee, read your word, and went, whoa, that rejoices my heart. No, let's see where Jeremiah was when this happened. Look at verse 17. Jeremiah said, I sat not in the assembly of the mockers. He would not sit among people who mocked God. He separated himself. Nor rejoiced. I sat alone because of thy hand. For thou hast filled me with indignation. God had put this man in a lonely, desert, hard place. Keep seeing it. Verse 18. Why is my pain perpetual? Why is my pain perpetual? Perpetual does not just mean continual, but it means continual with a purpose. Continual with a goal of where it's taking you. My pain. Your pain is easier to endure if you realize there's a great goal, a great purpose, what God is doing in you through that pain. That makes it bearable if you understand that it has a purpose. Even if you don't know what the purpose is, just knowing there's a purpose. Shania was having some bad cramps in her stomach, in the uterus, and she said, at least when I have this kind of pain in labor, I get a baby. There's a purpose. And I said, oh, there's a purpose, and it is getting a baby. God is strengthening your uterus for the next one to be planted there. There is purpose in it. Having purpose helps us bear pain. Jeremiah knew, I have been separated. I am alone. I am in perpetual, continual, purposeful pain to take me to God's goal for my life. So he accepted it. But he said, my wound is incurable. When you're in that place, you go, I don't know how to get over this. I don't know how to get better. This sin, these 19 points, God has pointed out my sin and I'm battling with it and it keeps winning. And I'm just incurable. I don't get any better. Jeremiah felt that way. He said, it refuses to be healed. It just absolutely won't cooperate with God. Wilt thou altogether unto me be as a liar and waters that fail? God, you have living waters, but I'm dried up. You seem like you lied to me, God. You said, we're going in 19 points, you're going to deliver me from my sin, and all I've done is get worse. God, it feels like you lied to me. Kind of feel like you tricked me into something impossible. I'm incurable. Jeremiah felt the same. It's part of the process. It's part of the process. When you enter a new level, you face new devils. And at first, you don't win. They're bigger than you. You keep losing. But every day that you draw near to God, every day that you battle, you get stronger. They get weaker. Wear them out. Don't give in. Their tactic is to tell you, you're hopeless. You're never going to change. This isn't going to work. And as soon as you believe them, you give up and you just sink backwards. Don't give up. God is building you into a soldier.
Right.
I don't care if you fail 500 times today. Only fail 480 tomorrow. Don't count the failures. Count the victories. Count how many times you won. And tally it. Put it up where you can see it. Hey, 10 times today I won. Don't say 400 I lost. Tomorrow, 12 times I won. I'm getting stronger. Count the victories. You're winning. You're winning. Don't let the devil lie to you about that. Therefore, thus saith the Lord, if thou return, go back to the starting place. Go back to the day that you had that victory. Go back to when God first told you how to beat this devil, and you did, and you had a little taste of victory. Go back. Go back. Draw back to God. Return back to God. Draw back in Him every time, and come back to where you were winning. And see what stopped you. Why did you fail? It's like there's a stone in your path and you're tripping over it. And you get up and you trip over the same stone and you trip over it. Why? What is the stone that tripped you? Is it a certain person, a certain circumstance, a certain thought? Every time you fail, stop and ask yourself, what took you down? What thought? Write it down. Realize it's a lie and don't trip over it again. Capture those thoughts. Realize what they are so you don't trip on the same stone repeatedly. If you will return, God said, let's get started all over again. Then I will bring you again, and you shall stand before me. To stand before God is an amazing thing, because normally we fall before God. When you first start coming into God's presence, it's, whoa, God is here, bam, down we go, hit the floor. But there's a place when the same amount of the presence of God comes. The first time it comes, that strong, it's like, whoo, over you go. And then it comes again, and whoo, over you go. And then God says, get up. I said, you're going to stand here, got it? I'm going to strengthen you, and others are falling, and you're standing. It's not because God's not there for you, because you've learned how to stand in that place now. He's strengthening you in that place. And then he'll bring you further where you can't stand, and he'll strengthen you to stand there. He'll strengthen you to stand in his presence when you beat these devils and move to new levels. And if you take forth the precious from the vial, I love the next line, prophets, here's your training today, thou shalt be as my mouth. If you will take forth the precious from the vial, you shall be as my mouth. You want to speak for God? You want to be a prophet? You want to be a preacher, a pastor, a singer? All these ways that God speaks and moves through your mouth? Then you have to take away the precious from the vial. What is the precious? The you. It's you. As you are precious in His sight. You, created in the very image of God, His reflection in you. You, as He created you, what He created you to do. That is precious. And what is vile is all the deceptions, all the lies, all the infiltration of the enemy. You've got to take it away. Got to pull the real you away from pride. Pull the real you away from selfishness. Extract the real life in you. Don't walk in pride, selfishness, anger, defeat, giving up, depression, selfishness, laziness, whatever your thing is. I don't know what God told you. Walk out of it. There is a precious seed in me of creativity. God created me in an image and a portion of Him that is very creative. I like it when He moves and I'm creative. But there's this insecurity. That was my thing that He's working on, the insecurity that says, you can't do it. It's not good enough. I keep going through this 19 steps. God keeps taking me to a new revelation, a new deliverance out of that insecurity. It's awesome. We've been working out of it for years, and it just keeps getting better every time He extracts another vile part out of my creative being. Even last week, I had something wrong. I had dependency wrong. I thought, I'm not going to paint unless I sense the Spirit of God moving, because I am nothing. I can do nothing. I wait. If God moves, then He can do it through me. He can do it through me. Like I'm just a paintbrush in His hand. I'm just a pencil that He writes with. No, not so. He could have created an army of robots for that. He created His own reflection in you. There is something precious in that. And it's the reflection of God. Can you function on your own? No, because you were extracted right out of God. You're part of Him. That oneness, God and you together. God and you together. You fully living, you fully functioning in oneness with Him. That dependency is when you hook up with Him. And now the real you lives. You vitally live. I wish you'd just study that word, life. When we talk about the man's life, nothing. But when it talks about eternal life, that is a vibrant, living, beating, pulsating, knock you off your feet force. That life. That life. It surged in me the other day when He was showing me this, and it was like, my heart's just going like 90 miles an hour, and I'm like, I'm going to break right out of my skin. There's so much life pumping in me. It's living. It's flowing. It's pulsating. And it's in you. You're not a dead pencil. And God won't do it for you. He won't just do it for you. He'll do it with you. He'll do it with you. A good father does not do everything for his son. He draws his son to do it. The one thing I was thinking about, because I thought I was cheating, is I can take your picture. Abby went upstairs. I took some pictures of Abby, and I can scan them in the computer, and then I can use my art program, and it's like tracing. I can trace right over you every feature, move it off your picture, and then enhance it and do what I want with it. And I thought, but that's cheating. It's tracing. Tracing is cheating. If I open my book and I lay a thin piece of paper and trace, I'm not doing anything. I'm tracing. And God said, how do you teach a child to make their alphabet? You teach them to trace. Tracing is learning. When you trace something, you get the details. You think of a little child, tell them to draw an eye. Even if they're 5, 6, 7, I asked Harvey, and he's more like 57, he drew an eye, and he put a round ball in the middle. But if you trace an eye, you're going to get that it curves a little bit here at the end and at the other end. And then there's the white, and then there's the color, and then there's the black, and then there's a little white spot that makes it look like a twinkle, and then there's a lead, and then there's lashes, and oh, wow, there's this little piece underneath, and you're going to get that because you traced it, and it drew your attention to see every detail. So God wants us to catch the details in life. They're important. Tracing is a teacher, and it's a very important teacher in art. It draws you to learn, to see differently. He wants us to see differently. When we slow down, you can trace with your eyes. Let your eyes just trace a leaf. Trace every little vein, every little line. What are you going to learn from that? One thing, it'll draw your mind from thinking about anything else, and now God can put in whatever he wants to put in. It gets your attention. But he wants us to see differently. That's the end. We're going to stop in Jeremiah. But I just want to give you this thought. This is from Graham Cook. It takes more than hunger. You have to feed that hunger. You have to read the Word of God. Devour, eat the Word of God. If you're really hungry, you're going to eat. Don't say you're hungry for God if you're not eating. You're not really hungry. It takes more than hunger in reading. It takes obedience. You must swallow and digest it and obey that word you took in. Make it part of your life. And then it takes more than obedience. It takes prayer, relationship, soaking and listening to God. You have to be so thirsty you want to drink of the Spirit of God, even beyond the written word. And then it takes owning it, which means letting that living water flow in and out, in and out. What God gives you, you must give out. Living waters have to flow. Still waters stagnate. You will become dried up, stagnant, stinky swamp water if you don't let it flow and if you don't keep taking it in. Through the Word, through the Spirit, more than hunger. Eat it, devour it, and give it out. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your word. Make us hungry, Lord, because we confess we hunger after other things. Lord, we can walk right out of your presence and sin within moments. We can walk out of your glorious mercy and condemn someone 5 minutes later. We can walk out of your sweet voice and have a swear word rush through our mind as soon as we stub our toe. We are so carnal and so weak and so worldly, and we don't want to be. God, have mercy. God, have mercy. Open our eyes. Open our ears. Open our spirits and feed us, Lord. Let us eat your word and drink from your Spirit and allow your living waters to revive life. Lord, lead us to see what is vile in our life and to take our preciousness that you created us in and bring forth the precious out of this vile world. We thank you, Jesus, and we want to be as your mouth for you. Thank you, Jesus.